2-1 for Isbell. Struck out his first time. And a ground ball to third base. Fielded by Westberg. His throw to first will beat Isbell. And will cinch the first shutout of the season. 5-0. The Orioles win it. The game and the series in Kansas City.
And the Orioles dropped 2 out of 3 to the Baltimore Orioles. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Royals first time shutout all year long. Seth Lugo's first loss of the season, as he allowed his first 2 homers of the year, recorded his first non-quality start this year, and the Royals lose. They're 0-for-6 runners in scoring position, left 9 on base. They get shut out. They're now 13-9 on the season. Matt Crotchero, manager of the Royals, on the struggles from his offense.
Yeah, we just had trouble squaring him up. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if he was, you know, I haven't looked at the video, but I'm not sure if he was locating, or sometimes it looks like they were set up in and he threw away, and, you know, vice versa. So, you know, give him credit. He spun the breaking ball in there and cut it when we thought he was going to sink it, or vice versa, and we just couldn't barrel him up.
So the Royals lose 2 out of 3 to Baltimore. They're back in action tonight at 6:40 at the K against the Blue Jays, a good team as well. 4-game set. Brady Singer on the hill, 2-0, ERA of 1.54. Baltimore wins the season series against the Royals, 4-2. And it was a barometer to see where the Royals are, and they're probably not quite to that level yet, but perhaps getting closer. One team that's not to that level is the Chicago White Sox, as they are now 3-18 on the season. They are the 10th team in history to drop 18 of their first 21 games, and the first in 2 decades. For UKU fans, yesterday marked the anniversary of 21 years ago yesterday that Bill Self was hired as the head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks. And I remember people are freaking out because Roy Williams is leaving. I remember saying on the show we had in Seneca, as long as you get Bill Self, everything will be fine. He's the one and only candidate you should go after. They got him, and I'd say the rest has worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I think that was a decent hire. Yeah, decent. You knew where I was going with that, right?
Yeah, just decent. Not
they did okay.
Nothing very great. Just decent, just average hire. Bill's getting it done so far. It looks like in the portals, no doubt about that. So there's other coaching news to get to. Why don't we jump into that and then get into the local results?
Yeah, the breaking news this morning from Kyle Beisner, the athletic director at Beloit High School, and breaking on a Monday morning and waking me up with some news, as the new head girls basketball coach has been announced at Beloit High School, and it is Keith Kersine. So Keith's been on the girls staff here the last year. He was part of the assistant coaches with Shauna Remus there. So as Shauna announced her resignation earlier this offseason, Coach Kersine has now stepped in and will be the head coach for the Beloit Lady Trojans. So I'll have more on that story posted later this morning here at katycountry94.com. Keith spent 12 seasons coaching at St. John's Tipton as far as girls basketball was concerned, and had a 218-63 record. Had a very, very solid record and pedicure there at St. John's Tipton. They won the state championship in 1A Division II back in 2015. So obviously, people around here know Keith Kersine. If you don't, you're not from the area and you just moved in, right? Keith's been pretty popular as far as a football coach at Wakanda East, even before coaching at St. John's Tipton. And again, 12 years experience as the head basketball coach with the St. John's Tipton girls. And then the past few seasons has also been the head coach of the Beloit Junior High boys basketball team. So we'll have more on that. Again, I hope to talk with Coach Kersine as well about his hiring there as the head coach of the Beloit Lady Trojans basketball team.
Kind of figured this is how it was going to go. Yeah. So no surprises for anybody that's close to the situation. And Keith's a tremendous coach. And he's a tremendous coach. And I think the world of him. He coached my middle son and was great with him. Incorporated him into the team and the practices. And he's done a wonderful job with those junior high boys. And he did a wonderful job at St. John's and won a state championship with the Blue Jay girls. He's a heck of a coach, and Beloit's lucky to have him, no question about that.
So again, I'll try to talk with Coach Kersine and have some sound from him coming up maybe tomorrow on the Sports Ticket. If we can get Keith's not the easiest person to get a hold of, if people remember that from some of the things in the past. So we'll get Keith as quick as we can and have a conversation with him about being the head coach of the Beloit Lady Trojan basketball team.
It's not because he didn't want to talk, it's just because There was a while where he didn't even have a cell phone.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's hard to get a hold of people. Mitch, that's probably, he's probably the smartest person on earth.
There was a reason he did that. Yeah.
At the time, yeah. Now I believe he does have one.
Yeah.
He was forced to have one.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay, other local sports. Lots of results to get to.
Yeah, a lot of results from Friday. And then the weekend, softball on Friday. Bullitt gets a sweep over Plainville, 13-0 in the first game and 7-2 in game two. The Lady Trojans are now 10-5 on the season with those victories. And then track and field on Friday, the Kaiser Relays at Osborne. Boys' side, Osborne won the team championship. On the girls' side, Osborne finished in second, the top finisher team-wise from the area. A lot of individual champions on the girls' side, Cody Hill of Sylvan Lucas in the 400-meter dash, the 4x4 and 4x8, Osborne girls winning. Grace William of Osborne took gold in the shot. Javelin went to Gracie Reiner of Osborne. Also, the high jump, Lauren Rummett of Lakeside, had already set a new school record earlier this year, but she beat that in a personal record of 5'4" to win the gold there. In Osborne, then J.C. Remus of Lakeside won the triple jump gold. On the boys' side, individual gold medals, Hunter Howell of Osborne, 100-meter dash, Xavier Miller of Lincoln in the 200, as well as the high jump. 400-meter dash, Mason Baker of Thunder Ridge, Johnny Hamill of Osborne winning both the 800 and 1600, Aiden Conrad from Osborne, the 3200, Nathan Goheen of Osborne, the 110 hurdles, and also the triple jump gold medal, Sam Kendig from Osborne winning the 300 hurdles, Osborne taking 4x1 and 4x4 relays, Rock Hills winning the 4x8, and Nate Myers of Rock Hills won the long jump gold as well. Phillipsburg on Friday, the Bullitt girls winning by 98 points as team standings, 213 to 115 against over Norton there. Individual gold medal winners for Bullitt, Ashlyn Knight in the 100-meter dash and the 200. She was also part of the 4x100-meter relay team that took first place there. Bullitt, again, having a great day. And then Madison Howland of Smith Center, the 1600 and 3200 gold medals. Scarlett Ludwig winning both the hurdle races for Bullitt, 100 and 300. And then Bullitt 4x1, as we mentioned. Ashlyn Loomis winning the pole vault, shot put, and discus. Both go to Tatum Seifert of Bullitt. And then Miley Brown of Bullitt won the long jump. Sophia Thompson the high jump. And the boys' team side of things, Bullitt finished in fourth place there. Smith Center was actually third. Norton won the championship. 3,200-meter run went to Gavin Hickert of Smith Center. And a 4x1 weight relay, Bullitt won that. And shot put and discus both went to Eli Johnson of Bullitt. Tegan McKenzie won both the triple jump and long jump. So for Smith Center. So those are your gold medal winners. You can find the complete results at ncksports.com. Also, the Kansas Eight-Man Football Association held their annual state powerlifting meet on Saturday, April 20th in Claflin at Central Plains High School. The girls' state champion was Clifton Clyde. Wichita County took home the boys' state title from the area. Thunder Ridge took second place. Individual state champions from the area, Thunder Ridge girls, by the way, took second place. Individual state champions, Emma DeNuzzo of St. John's, the girls' 140-pound class. Ian Christine of Lakeside, boys' 165. And Joshua Ferguson of Thunder Ridge won the boys' 220-pound class. And full results for that also at ncksports.com. And finally, there is a little bit of activity going on today in the area as the Bullitt Trojan baseball team is 9-5, 4-2 in the league, hosting 0-12, 0-6 Republic County. 4 o'clock start time for the doubleheader this afternoon. And in golf, the Concordia Invitational is today at 1 o'clock. Bullitt, Concordia, and Smith Center are competing in that event this afternoon. ncksports.com has all of your local schedules as well.
In 30 seconds, we'll take a look at the NBA, NHL playoffs, and two of the hottest golfers. And I don't mean by the way they look, but the way they play. We'll explain coming up.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Did you know that we sell tires? We also perform alignments and all the other services that go along with them. We handle all the top brands. Extras like road hazard warranty, complimentary tire rotations, and complimentary tire repairs are available for purchase on most tires. Right now, we are offering $80 off when you buy a set of 4. Call or stop by Kiever Brothers Automotive for fast, friendly tire services today. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KieverBrothers.com.
Pelicans are out of timeouts. McCollum against Wallace, poked away. 4 seconds. McCollum, the fake, the fire. No, and it's over. Oklahoma City survives and hold on to take game one against the Pelicans.
Thunder do hang on and win, and got a big three-point play by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who could be the MVP of the NBA. He is a tremendous young talent. The Thunder have a lot of young talent and look to be maybe ahead of schedule, number one seed in the West. They beat the Pelicans last night, 94-92. Alexander had 28 to lead the way. The Bucks destroyed the Pacers in Game 1 without Giannis. Damian Lillard had a huge game, 6 three-pointers, 35 points, 19 in the first quarter. Chris Middleton, 25. Pascal Siakam had 36 for the Pacers in the loss. The Mavericks were down 26 at halftime, get blown out by the Clippers in Game 1. James Harden, well, of course it's Game 1, so he comes up big. 28 points, 8 assists. I know, if you really like Harden, you're not going to get a lot of love listening to this show. But, you know, if he gets it done, he gets it done. Clippers 18 of 36 from three yesterday. That helps when you shoot 50% from downtown. They're up 1-0 in that best of seven. Celtics controlled the Heat very easily in Game 1, 114 to 94. Raced out to a 17-2 lead to Heat without Jimmy Butler, which changes them quite a bit. Jason Tatum picked up his first career playoff triple-double, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and the Celtics tied a franchise record as they made 22 threes in the game yesterday. Tonight, Magic at the Cavs at 6 o'clock, NBA TV. Sixers at the Knicks at 6:30 on TNT and True TV. Lakers at the Nuggets, 9 o'clock tonight on TNT and True TV. So, looking at the NBA playoff series, Boston leads one game to none. Game 2 is coming up on Wednesday in Boston against the Heat. The Knicks are up 1-0 on the Sixers. Game 2 is tonight, as we mentioned, on TNT at 6:30. The Bucks lead the Pacers 1-0. Game 2 of that series coming up tomorrow night on NBA TV at 7:30. Cavs Magic, Game 2 tonight. Cavs won the first game 97-83 on NBA TV at 6 o'clock. Thunder Pelicans, Game 2 of that series. Got to wait all the way till Wednesday for that one, 8:30 from OKC. Thunder up 1-0. Lakers Nuggets, Game 2 is tonight in Denver, and the Nuggets are up 1-0 in that series. And Minnesota up thanks to a 120-95 shellacking in the Suns in Game 1. Game 2 in Minnesota, Suns, Timberwolves coming up tomorrow night at 6:30 on TNT. And the Maverick Clippers, Game 2 is tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. And the Clippers, as we mentioned, have a one-game-to-nothing lead over the Mavericks in that series. The NHL playoffs, Florida is up 1-0 on Tampa Bay. The Rangers are up 1-0 on Washington. Winnipeg beat Colorado 7-6. That is a high-scoring game. They took a 1-0 series lead, and Vancouver beat Nashville 4-2. Vancouver's up 1-0. Game 2, Toronto-Boston. Boston up 1-0 is it tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN. On ESPN2, Carolina versus the New York Islanders. Carolina's up 1-0. Vegas in Dallas to take on the Stars. That's the first game of that series on ESPN at 8:30 tonight. And then at 9 o'clock tonight on ESPN2, Edmonton and the LA Kings, first game of that series as well. Scottie Scheffler has done it again. He is the most dominant golfer. He's the number one golfer in the world, and it's not really close right now. After he won the Masters, he comes right back, wins the RBC Heritage, taking home $3.6 million. His last five events, he won the Arnold Palmer. He won the Players' Championship. Texas Children's Tournament, he got second. What a loser. Masters, he got first. RBC Heritage yesterday. Actually, it's today because he finished it out today. We had a few holes left due to a weather delay yesterday. And he was up five strokes going in the final few holes, dominating. That's $16 million in winnings over 44 days. It's like he's from a different planet right now. And he's playing unbelievable. And soon he's going to be a father. So we'll see if that changes anything for him. And if you think Scottie Scheffler is on a roll, Nelly Korda on the women's tour says, hold my beer, Scotty. Nelly Korda has made golf history yesterday. She won her fifth straight LPGA event while simultaneously locking up her second major of her career. She won the 2024 Chevron Championship by two shots. So Nelly Korda is clearly the best golfer on the women's side. She's won five straight tournaments, and Scottie Scheffler's won four of the last five, including the last two, including the Masters on the men's side. So that is domination. NFL draft is coming up this week. It is on Thursday with the first round, and then Friday, and then to Saturday. And if you're wondering, and we'll talk more draft coming up later this week, if you don't know the order, the Bears have the first overall pick. Many expect them to take Caleb Williams. The Commanders, I think, would be crazy if they don't take Jaden Daniels with their second pick. They need a quarterback. Patriots, maybe they take Drake May from North Carolina. A lot of people talking about J.J. McCarthy shooting up the board from Michigan. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. That's what they said about Will Levis last year, and guess where he was? He was a second-round pick, where he was supposed to be. I don't think J.J. McCarthy should be in the first round. That's just my opinion. Maybe he turns in the next Tom Brady from Michigan, and he ends up being better in the pros than he was in college. And of course, Michigan won a national championship, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like he carried him. But perhaps he'll be great at the next level. I don't know. But I don't think he's going to go number two to the Commanders. But if they do make that pick, I think it's similar. Reminds me of the Daniel Jones pick by the Giants, where people were surprised. The Giants were the only ones that really loved Daniel Jones. I think the Commanders might be the only one that really loves J.J. McCarthy that high, but we shall see. Cardinals got the fourth pick. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. Is the best wide receiver on the board. Maybe the Cardinals get him. L.A. Chargers are fifth. And, of course, Jim Harbaugh is the head coach of the Chargers. The Giants got the sixth pick. Tennessee, seventh, followed by Atlanta. Bears got number one and number nine, two top 10 picks. Jets are picking 10th. Then the Vikings, Broncos at number 12, Raiders at 13, Saints, Colts, Seahawks, Jaguars, Bengals, Rams, Steelers, Dolphins, Eagles, Vikings, Cowboys will pick 24th, Packers 25th, Tampa Bay, Arizona again, thanks to a trade with Houston, they get the 27th pick. Minnesota's got a couple of picks in the first round. The Bills at 28, the Lions at 29, Ravens 30, Niners 31, and the Chiefs, because they're so awesome and keep winning the Super Bowl, once again have the last pick of the first round. And who knows which way they'll go there. A lot of people still thinking maybe receiver. They could easily go O-line. Brad Veach said the other day that O-line, receiver, and corner, he thought there's a lot of talent in those three groups. And I think he even mentioned D-line as well. And he said, we have needs at all those positions. And then they asked him, well, you know, would you trade up? If there's a guy you wanted, would you possibly trade up in top 15 or 20? And Brett Veach says, we've been close to doing that. Of course, they did it with Mahomes, 27-10. Back in the day, they moved up to get Trent McDuffie, although not that far up, like they did with Mahomes back in the day. But he said, you know, I just got to make sure Mr. Hunt and Mr. Reed sign off on it. So there's times where he presents something, and it sounded like last year they were trying to go up even further. So we shall see what the Chiefs do. But they have the final pick of the first round unless they trade out of it or if they trade up. Last year they took Felix Nduka-Uzomah from K-State. Some people thought that was just a play because he's from K-State. He's from the Kansas City area. Draft was in Kansas City. A lot of talk was that they were going to try to trade up. They tried to trade up. Brett Veach said they tried to trade up last year. It just didn't work. And people go, why don't you trade up? See, you got to have a partner to trade up. And if there's nobody willing to trade down so that you move up, that ain't going to happen. So it's easy to sit on your Barca lounger and go, oh, Veach is an idiot. He should have traded up. Well, you know, you're an idiot because you don't have a girlfriend. Does that mean you didn't ask? Well, maybe you didn't. But if you did and she said no, I mean, you at least tried. But you have to have a willing participant in order to have a girlfriend, right?
That's usually the case.
At least
it better be the case.
Better be the case, right? Or you're going to jail. Yeah, exactly. So the Chiefs will pick 32nd. And we'll see what they do. You know, for me, I haven't got too much into it right now. And there, so many things can change by the time the Chiefs draft at the very end of the night. I don't know if on these quarterbacks, they project for the top five picks will be quarterbacks. I'm hearing Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, who won the Heisman. Caleb Williams won it 2 years ago. And Caleb Williams has been compared to Patrick Mahomes. Ryan Poles used to work for the Chiefs front office. He's the general manager of the Bears. They traded Justin Fields away, so it'd be his team. He got some talent. Keenan Allen, they got picked up in a trade. They've got some talent now at wide receiver. They got a decent defense, and they got the ninth overall pick as well. So the Bears have draft capital. The Bears, I think, are a team that's going in the right direction. Just got to find the right quarterback. So Williams probably is going to go one. Number two, like I said, I think Jaden Daniels will go to the Commanders. And then the Patriots, I think, have to decide whether they want to take Drake May or J.J. McCarthy or trade out or pick somebody else. Maybe they'll want the receiver Harrison. Of course, still need a guy to throw him the ball. But quarterbacks, always the picks, usually. And quite a few go earlier than expected or are overrated, and people tend to reach because they need a quarterback. And I will say this year, I don't think there's much reaching, although McCarthy, I think, would be a reach. I think Drake May is a good potential quarterback in the league. But that's what everybody's going to focus on, just like they did last year. And then we found out that the second overall pick was by far the best rookie quarterback, not the first overall pick, C.J. Stroud instead of Young. And You know, Will Levis was a second-round pick. Everybody says he's going to be a top-10 pick, top-5 pick. Will Levis might be the number one pick. He fell all the way to second round. He's a starter now for Tennessee moving forward. So sometimes you hit on these quarterbacks. Sometimes they're complete bust. And if there's four of the top-5 picks end up being quarterbacks, I'll be willing to bet you half of them are at least bust.
That's usually how it goes. I mean, you don't – everybody wants to hit, but it's just it's so hard to find the right ones and even to scout the right ones and think you know what you're doing. And, you know, C.J. Stroud, they say he's not smart. He's not going to be doing very good.
He did bad on the Wonderlic, all this stuff.
You know, all those metrics that aren't measurable when once you actually get out onto the field and start doing things.
Yeah.
And, you know, they mean something to some people. And obviously, there's a reason they do them. But yeah, it's always really kind of a crapshoot in my mind. Unless you know, there's some that have been obvious hits, but it's hardly ever goes the way you expect it to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even from one way or the other. Like, I don't think people thought Patrick Mahomes was going to go the way this has gone. The night he was drafted.
No.
They knew they liked him, obviously, but to see it play out like this is not, I don't think, what anybody expected the night he was drafted. And then you can say the same thing about a lot of guys that go the other way, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to figure them all out, but, you know, eventually some of them are going to hit. You just hope it's your team. And there's been a long list. I was like, you know, thinking about the Bears, it's like I was actually talking about this with a group that I'm in on Twitter, and it's like, it must be terrible to be a Bears fan when you could have had this quarterback or this quarterback. You just constantly
traded up a pick to get Mitch Trubisky. You traded up from 3-2 to get Trubisky, which made no sense to me, and that was a draft that had Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and it's like you understand that these are not always going to go right, but man, that one went so wrong, and it just seems to go wrong for the Bears quite a bit at that position.
It'll be interesting, I think, with the Chargers, what they do.
Yeah.
They're going to turn into more of a run physical team. That's what Harbaugh, I think, wants. So we'll see how that turns out. But, of course, you know, the Chargers are the biggest challenge to the Chiefs, right? Every year. Mm-hmm. Look out for the Chargers. Oh, the Chargers. They're so scared of the Chargers. Nah. Not worried about it. Broncos are at number 12. They need a quarterback. Could they possibly trade up and try to get a quarterback? Or is there one that might slide down to them? And is that J.J. McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
I think J.J. McCarthy might slide down to the Broncos. Question is, do they like J.J. McCarthy? J.J. McCarthy seems to be the name that everybody's throwing out there as, I don't know, what's the term I'm looking for? He's the smoke in this draft. But I don't think there's a lot of fire there. I just think it's smoke. I think, you know, people jump to conclusions really quickly in society in general. But with the draft, oh, did you hear that? Oh, they're leaning this way. I say this every year come draft time. I say it especially in the NFL draft. And Chiefs fans get all excited when Brett Veach says something this. I'm like, folks, you got to understand, this is called a game. The draft itself is a game within the game. You're not going to show your hand. It's like at a poker table. You're not going to show your hand. You're going to bluff sometimes. And so while you may know exactly what you want to do, you're letting the public know something else to get people to look in a different direction. And then next thing you know, Brett Veach trades up and steals Trent McDuffie from the Bills.
Yeah.
Oh, he trades up and he gets Mahomes. Well, everybody thought, we really like Deshaun Watson. Oh, man, the Chiefs want Watson. Oh, this is obvious. The Chiefs are going to get Watson. Chiefs made a trade. They got Watson. Oh, yeah, they went to get Watson, so the Saints didn't get him. Oh, wait a minute. They didn't say much about Mahomes before the draft, did they? So
No. Why
do people take whatever they hear as gospel before the draft? And that's what I think Will Levis was all played out because it was a rope-a-dope strategy to distract and try to get people to think they were and do something else. And I think the J.J. McCarthy thing is a very similar situation. But could be proven wrong.
I don't think you're going to be. I don't know.
I don't think
maybe there's something
top five.
I'm just not seeing.
Yeah.
But
I don't even know if he's a first-round quarterback, personally. But top five, I think, is insane.
That's very insane to me.
But
if that would actually happen.
We shall see. Jamarcus Russell was not a super great quarterback at LSU. He was good, don't get me wrong. But he could throw the ball 80 yards. People kept talking about how much he could throw the ball 80 yards. He was not very smart. And if you haven't heard the story, he was number one overall pick of the Raiders. And the Raiders figured out or figured that he was not watching the game film that they were sending home with him for studying to be a quarterback in the NFL. And they were so sure of it, they decided to send a blank tape with him. And he went home, and they came back and said, hey, did you study the tape and do this? And he goes, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And they knew he was full of crap.
Yeah.
And they just proved what they thought all along, that he wasn't doing the work. And guess what? He wasn't in the league very long. So I really don't care if a guy can run a 4-1-2. Can he catch the football? I don't really care if a guy is a tremendous route runner. Is he quick enough to get open? You know, I don't care if a running back has great speed. Can he actually break a tackle? And how about with pads on and a helmet? And can you read the hole? Ooh, he can run fast. Ooh, he can break tackles. Perfect. Does he have vision? Well, a quarterback, he's got a great arm. Great. Does he have a brain? Because that's kind of important. Listen, Michael Beasley has done some really good things since he got done with football. And I don't know the man personally. I've never met him. But Michael Beasley was one of the most talented quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, Michael Bishop, right?
Or Michael Bishop. Yeah. I'm sorry. I had 2 hours
Michael
of sleep.
Michael Beasley was a basketball player. I get it.
Well, Michael Beasley wasn't exactly as sharp as a tack either.
No.
Okay, those two could hang out together. But Michael Beasley.
He used 11%
of his brain. Michael Beasley did a little.
that's the part smoking where he was using 11% of his brain.
Like I think so. Yeah. So, yeah, Freudian slip there. But anyway, Michael Bishop. I'm sorry. Michael Bishop. See, well, the other reason I get that is Jonathan Beasley played quarterback at K-State.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a good quarterback.
Yeah.
He was underrated. Michael Beasley was a great basketball player, obviously, in college. In the pros, he could have been so much more. Who knows? But Michael Bishop was one of the most talented quarterbacks I've ever seen in person and on television. And you're just sitting there going, why didn't that guy get drafted high? Why didn't that guy stick in the league? Why was he never a starter in the league? And Josh Freeman was. And let me tell you something. Josh Freeman was talented.
Oh, yeah.
And he was definitely smarter. But Michael Bishop's athleticism and the way he played quarterback was way better than Josh Freeman. Josh Freeman was a first-round pick, started for the Buccaneers, had an okay career. Nothing super great, but not he wasn't a complete overall bust. I mean, he did have a couple decent years. But Michael Bishop, that was a guy that people did understand that he's got tremendous talent, but I don't think he's going to be able to handle it mentally in this league. And so it is interesting. Got all enamored with Jamarcus Russell, first overall pick. Why didn't people get all enamored with Michael Bishop? I would guess shortly into an interview, you figured it out, maybe? I don't know. But that was a guy that had all the talent in the world, but he just didn't have the mental aptitude, or he didn't want to. Maybe he just didn't have the desire. He just wanted to play and just wing it. And that doesn't work in the National Football League. I know people think Mahomes just wings it. No, he does. I mean, yes, he improvises. But Mahomes, let me tell you something. You have to be pretty damn smart to play quarterback, honestly, at about any level, but definitely college and pro. I mean, way more complicated than you can imagine. You also got to be a lot more smarter than people think to play center. A lot of people just think, oh, he snaps the ball. Oh, no, you're calling out how to pick up this coverage. I mean, the center is the quarterback of the offensive line.
Yeah.
And they call audibles at the line of scrimmage sometimes as to, hey, where they're going to double team, or we're going to got to watch out for the slant or the stunt or whatever. A lot of communication happens, and the best teams communicate, and they communicate well in order to be successful. Talent helps, but you got to have something between your ears. And some quarterbacks have it. Some quarterbacks don't. And obviously, Patrick Mahomes has it. Looks like C.J. Stroud has it. Obviously, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady had it. The greats have it. And there's been a lot of quarterbacks that have been super athletic over the years that get to the league and completely fall off the face of the earth and can't cut it because they just don't have it between the ears.
Yeah.
But they're fun to watch.
The thing I always say about Michael Bishop, there was a reason that he was not available for media availability on Tuesdays.
Yes, which probably didn't help him either. Bill Snyder didn't do any favors there, but at the same time, it probably would have exposed him even more.
That, and I think, you know, Michael I'm gonna be honest, he was a cocky guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think some of that was probably to avoid some bulletin board material too, with as smart as he maybe was not, and some of the things he might say during the week too. So it is interesting to see all that, just to see, you know, like I say, there's legit concerns with some of those types of guys, and they're not going to get the opportunities maybe that they should. And you know, Michael Bishop came in and was the Tom Brady to Drew Bledsoe before Tom Brady, right?
And
a lot of people thought maybe he'd be the next Patriots guy. And it was kind of like, let's go behind a guy that's, you know, let's learn behind a guy that's a veteran in the league, and maybe I can get an opportunity coming up. And then Michael Bishop never got that chance because Tom Brady came along and was obviously probably brighter and picked things up a little quicker than Michael Bishop did, and then got that opportunity to do that with the Patriots. But yeah, it's just seeing what all these people can do. It's you really don't. Again, I just you can't always judge it just based on that, because you know you've got a couple different examples of people that are still going to take those chances, but it ends up not working out for them because, you know, the things that happened on those tests were actually right, and they weren't the brightest people in the world. But then again, you get a CJ Stroud and it changes the dynamics. So, you can try all you want to make it an exact science. It's just never going to be.
No.
All right. So that wraps up the show for today. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Sports Ticket brought to you as always by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.